Hi, Emily. Thank you for being here and welcome on Teen Griefs podcast. I'm so excited to have you here. If you feel comfortable, do you want to start off by introducing yourself and a little bit of your background?
Yeah, sure. So, thank you so much for having me. This is really exciting. I am an Asian American author. I identify as Chinese American and Taiwanese American. And I have two novels and an anthology out. My first novel is called The Astonishing Color of After. My second novel is called An Arrow to the Moon. And my anthology is Foreshadow: Stories to Celebrate the Magic of Reading and Writing YA, which I co-created with Nova Rensuma. So I know that you're all about conversations related to grief, which is, kind of the center point of The Astonishing Color of After, which is a book about a girl who believes that when her mother died by suicide, her mom turned into a bird. And this girl, Lee, believes that her mom wants her to go to Taiwan to connect with Lee's grandparents, who she's never met before. And while she's there in Taiwan, she starts to uncover all these family secrets. And the book becomes this tale of identity and acceptance and, connecting with family and discovering how to be yourself and how to process grief when the unthinkable has happened.
That's really interesting. Being an author and doing your research probably as you were writing your book, you potentially might have some insight into what the hardest part of grief is. What would be your biggest advice for them, and how do you recommend you offer support?
Oh gosh, well, it's so hard. It's so tricky because it's different for every person, right? And I wrote The Astonishing Color of After from a place of grief myself. I had lost my aunt to suicide, and I had, grown up seeing what it was like to have so much depression in a household, to have so much darkness and stigma, and the inability to talk about it, and oftentimes the inability to get the help that was needed to address it. And then trying to process that grief was, it was just, I don't even have words to really describe it. I had to write a whole book to process my grief. I felt like nobody was really holding space for me to grieve. My family kept saying that there was this Buddhist idea that my aunt's spirit was lingering nearby, and that if she could hear us crying, that it would prevent her from being able to move on to the next and most optimal part of her journey. And so there was this idea of we can't weep, we can't loudly grieve. The mourning is supposed to be kind of kept under wraps. And that made it really difficult because there is catharsis in letting your body feel the grief. There is catharsis in experiencing that, in letting yourself cry and letting yourself be angry and letting yourself scream and letting yourself, reach out to people and connect vocally in these ways. We all have heard of the multiple stages of grief, and they can happen in various orders, and grief manifests in so many different ways for different people. It's really hard to prescribe any sort of advice as to how to deal with it. So I only really know how I dealt with it, which is that I had to put my grief down into a story because that's how I've always processed things. I had to write my way through it, and I had to write my way into understanding what I was even feeling. And I think that for the first few drafts of what the book became ultimately, because originally it was not a grief book, it was originally a very different type of story, and my grief took over and really transformed the book. I was in denial about what kind of a story I was telling. I almost didn't want to give in to the grief, but I realized that I had to let myself feel things and I had to let myself put that devastation on the page. And that was a way of holding space for myself when it felt like nobody else around me knew what to do. You know, it's hard to talk about grief because it's such an uncomfortable feeling. So if other people aren't going through it, they oftentimes are almost afraid to have conversations about it. They're afraid and don't know how to hold space for it.
Yeah.
So
I think I can really relate to that because I've always been very quiet about it. I've never really talked about it. Even this podcast is just my way of like breaking the stigma around grief and talking about it instead of just going along with what normally happens.
Yeah, it's so important that we allow ourselves to talk about it because it's a very human emotion. Everyone experiences it at some point. And yet, you know, there's this idea that we're supposed to keep calm and carry on. We're supposed to figure out how to continue to be functional members of society. We're supposed to like put on a smile and try to quote, get over things and try to quote, move on. Some people never move on and that's totally fine.
Yeah.
You know, some people, they carry the grief with them always and that's totally fine and totally normal. And we should be talking about these hard feelings.
Yeah. If you were to like, you might have already said something like this, but like, how could you, how can someone who's grieving open up to the people around them? Like, how do you see that? It's like, how do you get through that barrier of feeling like you're alone and feeling like you can't talk about it?
I think it is, you know, the first step is to say, I'm not okay. Mm-hmm. And this is the reason I'm not okay, if you weren't aware already. And I think it's important for us to practice voicing our needs because friends don't know how to support you unless you can say, hey, I'm dealing with this right now. And what I need from you, what I would like to ask of you is, can you just come over and watch a movie with me and sit in this feeling with me? Or can I call you and talk to you about this? Or will you come with me and do this thing that reminds me of this person that I lost? You know, I think that we're afraid to ask for things. I think more than ever, we're afraid to ask for what we need from the people around us. But if we don't communicate that, then nobody knows. It can be so hard, though, to voice that. You know, I think grief and all the adjacent feelings that can come with it, depression, anxiety, they can induce this self-isolation. And that's really tricky because how do you realize that you're self-isolating and then break out of it? How do you make yourself reach out to people? So I think that there is a matter of identifying that, okay, I've kind of tucked myself away into this cave and I actually should reach out to people. And if one person doesn't react well, that doesn't mean that I should stop. I should then try someone else. And sometimes people aren't going to be very graceful in their responses. You know, sometimes people are going to feel uncomfortable and that's not like, it's not entirely their own fault because we've kind of been taught to function that way as a society. Yeah. And so, you know, you can either try someone else or you can try reconnecting with that person if they're really important in your life and say, hey, this is really important to me. I'm really struggling and I really need this from you.
Yeah. I think even like another layer to that is like, how would you open up to someone who's grieving the same loss? I know in my family, we just like to not talk about it and kind of set it aside because no one wants to make the other sad or something.
Yeah. And it's so challenging, right? Because everyone feels like they're walking on eggshells because they don't want to trigger a feeling in something. But what is so bad about triggering?
Yeah.
Sadness that is very much warranted for somebody who is so very loved, right? Like that sadness is actually precious. That sadness is a reminder of how much we loved that person. It's okay to feel sad. It's also okay to feel angry in the name of love, right? Or in the name of other feelings too, because oftentimes the passing of someone is not so pure and cut and dried. Like there are oftentimes many complicated feelings wrapped up in it. But I don't think that we can heal. Like we kind of just end up in a stasis if we just shut down and we don't talk to anyone about it and we're afraid to ever talk about it. And, you know, like my cousin and I will have conversations about her mom, my aunt who died by suicide, where we're just remembering funny things that she did. We're remembering funny conversations that happened. We're remembering little quirks or talking about how amazing she was at certain things. Like she had an incredible brain for math. So sometimes I would just randomly marvel at her being this like mathematical genius, you know? And those don't trigger sadness so much as a feeling of connection. Like there is always sadness built in. It's always going to be attached, you know, but we're complicated human beings. We have a whole range of nuanced emotions.
Yeah. Thank you. That's the end of what I have. Do you have anything you would like to share that you didn't get to touch on maybe already?
I would recommend Megan Devine's Refuge in Grief social media platform and podcast if you're not familiar with her already. Her last name is spelled Devine.
Okay.
And she has an incredible wealth of resources on the topic of grief. And I've also done a podcast. I think I've done two podcast episodes with her actually. And she's just really wonderful as an advocate for us to talk about these really difficult feelings. So just wanted to add that as a recommendation for your listeners.
Thank you. Okay, well, it was really nice to have you on and I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you so much. This is great. And
thank you
for this work that you're doing. This is really important and I'm glad that you're channeling your energy into this.
Thank you.